I got to share part of this the other day at a daily mass, but I want to talk to you all about betrothal. When his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. It's a hard thing for us nowadays to understand what the ancient betrothal practices were. Nowadays, you get engaged and then you get married. And in the ancient times, what would happen is that a family would really come together to sort of negotiate, here's my daughter, here's my son. Not necessarily arranged, but the man would go in pursuit of his bride. But the family would always be part of it, such that at the betrothal, the man and the woman, their families would enter into some sort of exchange of goods, goats, bulls, money, a $20,000 wedding ceremony, you know, wedding reception. And they would be betrothed to each other, man and woman, which is a covenant, a binding covenant, that the two of them are husband and wife, but they don't live together yet. So a few things need to happen now. The groom, the man, goes to his father's house, his father's home, and it's there in his father's house that he begins to prepare a place for the two of them to live together. And so either you add a room to the house or right next to the house, you build your own home. And eventually he's going to go to his bride with his friends, with musicians, and they're going to claim her and bring her into the father's home. But it's only at the will of the father that he can do this. So he's there working away, preparing the home, the groom is, and it's only at the approval of the father that he can go and get his bride. So his father's there helping him. He has friends helping him as well. And they're preparing this place for the bride and the groom to live together. Meanwhile, the groom or the bride is off at her parents' home, and that she is wanted, she is being pursued, she is precious, she is cherished, she's learning the responsibilities of home life, she's preparing her wedding garments, and the posture of her heart during that time is to be prepared, because you know neither the day nor the hour that the groom is going to come and take you to himself. This is the ancient Jewish custom, and it's so important because this is the story of God and humanity, that God comes in pursuit of his bride. It's written, littered all throughout the Old Testament, how God is a jealous God in pursuit of his people, that he will wed himself to us, that he desires that we be brought in to his family. And so when Jesus steps on the scene and begins talking about being prepared, keeping your lamps lit because you know neither the day nor the hour, they didn't have this sense of judgment about that, that this eternal judge is going to come back and cast me out. It was all wedding language, that the bridegroom is going to come and claim his bride. And if she's there, you know, unkempt, drunk, and whatever else, like he's not going to bring her home. That if there's not a prepared woman, that he can't take her. And so what they hear all the time as Jesus is preaching, he's teaching, is that he, and so often he refers to himself as the bridegroom. And it's on the night of the Last Supper, he tells his apostles, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms." Or the better translation, the translation we like better, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions." You want a mansion, don't you? "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will take you to myself so that where I am, you also may be." And the Spirit of truth is going to lead and guide the church to reveal all truth. That the Holy Spirit, we live in the time of the Holy Spirit, that we as a church are the bride being pursued by the bridegroom. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to prepare us to receive the bridegroom when he comes. So at the end of the book of Revelation, we hear in Revelations 21, 22, so beautiful, that we pray, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." The Spirit and the bride together, the Spirit and the church together beg that the bridegroom come. that he take us to himself so that where he is, we also may be. This is the story of all of Christianity. It's not that God is up in heaven, but looking at us with judgment and condemnation, constantly disappointing us that we can't get our acts together, only tolerating us. He's a bridegroom who's gone to prepare a place for us so that where he is, we also may be. But we have to identify ourselves as the bride. Men, own it, okay? You are the bride, and God is the bridegroom. And the question is, when the bridegroom comes with festive song, with desire in his heart, with love and tenderness, with all the hard work he's placed into preparing a home, will he find a bride that actually wants to be with him? Will he find a bride that's prepared for what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus, the bridegroom? Will he find a bride that desires him? This is the story of Mary and Joseph. Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, because Joseph is off preparing a place for Mary, and he has ideas about what this is going to look like and where Mary's going to do her work and where Joseph is going to have a carpentry shop, and that hopefully they'll be able to welcome children into this world. And as Mary is preparing herself spiritually, emotionally, physically, and Joseph is preparing a physical space, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father interrupts and comes to Mary. It says, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. That God saves, that God draws close, that God, who is Emmanuel, always with us, has a pledge to humanity. And he doesn't come as eternal judge, vindictive, and wanting to lord it over us. Rather, he comes as bridegroom in pursuit of the bride, whom we are. And Joseph is so bold. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. How often in the midst of our plans and our preparations does something get thrown off? Maybe you're feeling this right in the midst of Christmas season right now. Something gets thrown off, but then the Holy Spirit intervenes to ask us, would you trust me? Would you follow me? And the angel Gabriel says, it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And we hear, when Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. It's especially on this last Sunday of Advent, so close to the coming of Jesus in the flesh, that the church prays in a really fervent and serious way. Come, come, Emmanuel. At the end of the book of Revelation, which has not even happened yet, that you hear the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride begging that Jesus, the bridegroom, come. And so we are in this betrothal state where Jesus has gone off to prepare a place for us, and that we as the bride are preparing our hearts, our lives, so that when he comes in festive dance with singers, with his friends, and those who are beside us, that we would be prepared to say, yes, even so come. In my sin, in my poverty, in my distractedness, and everything that's wrong in my life, we beg, come. That beautiful Hebrew word, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. I pray that we have the courage of Mary and Joseph, that the ways that the Holy Spirit disrupts our life would be an invitation to surrender to how it is that God desires to work. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.